We're starting here on the Mishnah, the top of Kuvchet Amud Aleph. The Mishnah begins, Tipat Chalav, Shnafla Al Chaticha. If a drop of milk that fell on a piece of meat, Im Yesh Ba Banot In Tam, Boto Chaticha Asura. If there's enough milk to flavor that particular piece, then that piece is Asur. What the status of the remainder of the pot is, not mentioned in the Mishnah, but in regards to that piece, it's problematic. Now, Tosafot over here mentions something that was already we saw as a machloka at Rashi and Tosafot earlier on, that Tosafot says over here, Kshachaticha kula chutz lerotev. Tosafot believes here that we're talking about a case where the entire piece is outside of the gravy. The gravy is below them, it has no effect on them. Supposed to Rashi's Deya, which we saw before in the Gemara, where Rashi said that it was even when it was partially submerged in the rotev, you have to remove the rotev afterwards. But in Daf Kuf, we saw Machloket Rashi and Tosfot. Tosfot is consistent here, that he says that the Chaticha Kula Chutz, the rotev Iri. I didn't mean the milk was dry, but the pieces of meat are dry on top of each other. They're not submerged in the gravy. Because the Chalab, which is liquid, is Mifapeya. It spreads. It disseminates throughout the piece. But it cannot move from piece to piece. Because there isn't a liquid that is transferring that milk from piece to piece. There's nothing that's spreading it out. That's what Tosafot explains. Again, Rashi, the Shitato, and Kufum says that it does involve the rotev there. Then the next piece is, Nir etakteira, if he mixed the pot, imej baimanot in tambo tokteira asur. Now, the circumstances change once you've mixed it. Now, the question is, does it flavor the entire pot? Versus just this piece. When it lands just on that piece, and the piece remains stationary, the only question is that piece versus the tipat chalav. Now, once you have mixed the pot, the issue is that now the milk has disseminated, dispersed throughout the pot, and it's a question of does the whole pot, or everything that's in there now, have enough to be mevatel, the drop of milk that is inside of it. Wait, the chaticha surah didn't exist here, as opposed to in the first case, where you had a chaticha surah, because the milk sat on that, and the flavor disseminated in that piece, and that piece became a chaticha surah. That's the first case. In this case, right away he mixes it before it's absorbed into that piece. So now we're talking about the milk in relationship or relative to the whole pot, rather than to that piece. Right, well, but all of this can be built up with shishim, it just has to be shishim. Yeah, so the question is, what is the shishim here? Yeah. The first case, the shishim was the one piece. Here now it'll be the entire pot that we're looking at for the note in tam. Abar bayi, ta'amo velo mamasho be'alma do'oraito. Bayi says, whenever you have flavor that is imparted, even though there's no substance to it, it's a din do'oraito. This is what we've, in other places, called tam ki'ikar. Tam kikar means that the having the flavor is the equivalent of having the item or the object there. We do not differentiate between flavor and mamashut in substance of an item that is asur. Disagadatcho dirabonon. So if you think that this din of tam kikar is only a din dirabonon mi basar b'chalav, that comes out of basar chalav, my taima lo gamrinan. So why don't we learn from basar b'chalav to other items? So the assumption is that by basar b'chalav, and we just saw this in our Mishnah, the tam ki ikar, and that's a given. It's a given because the Torah says, when is basar b'chalav asur? Bibishul. The fact that it's asur bibishul means that tam is going to spread throughout. So we know tam ki ikar when it comes to basar b'chalav. Now, do you want to use that as a paradigm and say in kol haTorah kula, also tam ki ikar, anywhere else besides basar b'chalav? Is flavor as important as considered just like the substance itself? So Abaye says yes. Because he says, if you want to think no, that it's outside of basar b'chalav, it's only a din d'rabbanan, then why didn't you learn it out of basar b'chalav? Why was basar b'chalav not a paradigm for the rest of the Torah? Says, it's my time, alo gamrinan. Why didn't you learn from basar b'chalav to all the rest of the Torah? D'chidishu. Because basar b'chalav is a unique case. What is unique about basar b'chalav? So Rashi brings two reasons that it's unique. One reason that it's unique is it's heter and heter. It's not that the inherent isur in any one of the objects, it's when the two objects come together, they generate isur. That's one chiddush that you have in basar b'chalav. The second chiddush you have in basar b'chalav is that it's only usur derech bishul. It's only usur when it's cooked together. If you have milk and meat cold, mina Torah, there is no issue in terms of consuming them, there is no issue of achila, bishul is the only restriction, and the consumption of bishul is what's the problem. Basar b'chalav is not asur. Tosafot says that the only real issue here is the fact that it is derech bishul, that it's asur, that even if you let meat soak in milk all day, you left a piece of meat in milk soaking all day, there is no isur. The isur only comes about because of bishul. Now, dirabonon, we have an issue that if it's shoreh for 24 hours, it has a din like bishul, it's kim of bushul time, but that's a din dirabonon. In the Torah, you leave the meat soaking in milk all day, there's nothing, no problem, no issue whatsoever. So that's the chiddush over here. So the fact that it's a chiddush, we say it's not a paradigm. We can't use it to extrapolate to other isurim. So he says, well, I chiddushu, but such a big chiddush, then apagav daleka no tein tam nami. Why do you need no tein tam at all? Forget about no tein tam. Why don't you just say that asur, a koshuhu is asur. The fact that you don't want to extrapolate to other things, because basar b'chalav is unique. It's unique because you have two divrei heter, it has to be done derech bishul. So now if you want to go that far and say it's a chiddush that we can't extrapolate from, then why do we even involve the normal parameters of Isur in the Torah? Normal parameters of Isur in the Torah is no tein tam. It has to give over flavor. So why don't you say over here that, where did you get flavor from? Why do you have to have flavor? It's a chiddush? Go all the way. All the way means even in a koshul. So I'm like, Rabbi says, I'm sorry, I can't accept that. Because derech bishul asrat Torah. The fact that the Torah asserted it through bishul shows you that flavor is important. Bishul gives the ability for flavor to transfer. The whole idea of bishul, that was simply what you were saying by Shatnez, the whole idea of bishul is to have irbuf, to have a mixture of flavors, is to have the flavors join. So he says the fact that the Torah says that the isur is derech bishul shows you that flavor is important. Because otherwise bishul wouldn't be significant. Then you could just have it like if you soak the meat in the milk all day, it should be problematic. The fact is that it all has to do with bishul because of the importing of flavor. Now Rabbah does not disagree with Abaye's underlying premise, which is tam ki ikar is d'oraita. The tam has the same din as having the actual substance, min haTorah, that he doesn't disagree with. He just disagrees with the methodology that he's using here, that I can prove to you that basar b'chalav has to be the paradigm for everything else, because otherwise there should have been a more isurim in basar b'chalav. It should be an asur, even b'koshu, even without no tam. Rabbah says, I don't see that. I don't see that as being the reason. Now we have two other sources for tam ki ikar in the Torah. One is by Nazir, where there it says mishrat yayin, anything that's soaked in wine. And over there are deot machloket in the Gemara, whether we learn out tam ki ikar from there. And the other place that we learn it out from is what we did earlier in our mesechta, which is zroa b'sheila. Zroa b'sheila, that when you cook them together, over there the Torah gives a dispensation that there is no transference of flavor, or even despite the transference of flavor, it's mutar, but anywhere else, it would be problematic. The Zroa b'sheila is by the El Nazir. Previously I learned that. So those are the two other sources for the fact that tam ki ikar is midoraita, is mishrat yayin, Zroa b'sheila. Baye tried to give us a third one. Rava rejects his proof, but doesn't reject his conceptually that tam ki ikar is min haTorah. Alright, now, we get back to the question in the Mishnah. Question in the Mishnah was, you have a tipat chalav, a drop of milk that falls on a piece of meat. That piece of meat becomes what we call chaticha nasit nevela. That chaticha now becomes kulo isur. And here we had, remember the machloket on kufa between the Rabbeinu Tam and the Rabbeinu Ephraim. Whether chaticha nasit nevela, do we say the whole thing's a nevela? Or do we say just the amount of flavor that is imparted? That machloket was everywhere besides basar b'chalav. Everybody agreed by basar b'chalav, because of the nature of the isur, of the irbuv of flavor, and they were both heter before, that chatichat nasei nevela means the entire piece becomes asur. So here, if this drop of milk falls on this piece of meat, and there's not enough in this piece of meat to be mevatel the tam achalav, the entire piece now becomes a chatichat nevela, becomes a chaticha of basar b'chalav. What is the relationship between that piece and the remainder of the pot? That's what we're about to have machloket amoraim, but that's what the Gemara is addressing now. Amarav. Once the flavor was imparted from the milk into this piece of meat, which is what we just explained, it itself, this meat, now becomes an entire isur of basar b'chalav. Then it's osur, the remainder of all the pieces of meat in that pot. That's that flavor movement, yes. It has to be something that will impart the flavor from one to the next. Mixing and covering allow for dissemination of flavor. So it has to be something that allows for dissemination of flavor. So whatever it is that allows you to disseminate, it could be a liquid, it could be mixing, or it could be covering. Those are the different ways that you can. Then the last piece of this is, so now it's osir kol chotro kulam mipnei shehen mina. It's min b'mino. Min b'mino is not batel. That means that even if there is 61 pieces in this pot besides this piece of heter, it still will not be batel. Min b'mino, never batel. And now you run into a problem. Unless, of course, if you can, even if you can identify the piece and technically take it out, which we saw before, siluko, you can remove it, there's still a problem because of the tam, the flavor now that is disseminating about, and that's min b'mino. That flavor will never be nidbatel. So that means afilu be'alef. Amalei marzutra brei the ramari, the ravina, michte. Let's understand here. Rav keman amar shmatei, Rav and Amora. Who's this, which tana is he following? So we've seen this many times. As shitat ki Rav Yehuda. Rav Yehuda is the tana who has the opinion to bar min b'mino lo batil. Whenever you have the same type, same flavor in it, then there is no b'teilut. You cannot nullify that item. Lema pligi ad derava. Let's assume here that this is not in concert with Rava's opinion, Dhamma Rava. Kasav Rav Yehuda, koshu min v'mino. So anything that is min v'mino, v'davar acher, and something else involved with it, seleket mino, k'mi she'ino, v'she'ino mino, Rava lavu mvedlo. So this again, the statement of Rav we had back on Daf Kuf. We turned the page on top of Kuf Amud Bet, then we had the sheet of Rava right before the Mishnah, who gave a different reason as to when the chaticha over there is problematic. We wanted to know why in the Mishnah it was batel. Our Mishnah says that it's batel. So if it's min b'mino, why is it batel? So Rabbi said there was a case, shiluko, that he took out the piece already. Rava suggested that the answer was that whenever you have two items of the same min, we ignore them. We ignore it. We see it as if they're not there. Since they're not batel, that means that the heter is not mevatel the isur, but that means the isur is also not mevatel the heter. So we look at them as if they're not there, as if they are irrelevant in the case. And then we look at the eino mino. Is there something else besides these two items there? And then we look at that in contrast to the isur. So as we explained back there, you have pieces of meat that are mutar, you have a piece of meat that's asur. So as far as the pieces of meat are concerned, we ignore them. Pieces of meat, they're all the same. They're not mevatel each other. The heter is still heter, the isur is still isur. Nothing's changed in terms of they can't be mevatel each other. On the other hand, there's other items in the pot. There's the rotif. There's the gravy that's in the pot. There are other items of heter that are inside that pot. Those items of heter, now we look at them relative to this one piece. Is there more rotev and sediment and whatever else, tavlinim, that are in the pot that can override this piece of isur that is in the pot? And that's what Rava suggested over there. So now we have a statement by Rav which says, well, I have a pot where I have different pieces of meat fall in. Then I say, no, everything is asur because I have a chaticha naset nevela, and I have min b'mino, it's not batel. Rava says, wait a minute, I agree with you that chaticha naset nevela, but I also have min b'mino, I look at min b'mino, we drop the heter, like the pieces of meat that are heter, I ignore them, and then I say, okay, the eino mino, what does that do? Can I have the eino mino factor in here? And the answer would be, if the rotev is more than 60 to 1 to that one piece, yes, you have heter now. If it's not, then you don't have b'teilut. But at least there's a chance that you could be mevatel according to Rava. So Gemara's suggestion here is that Rav and Rava have a difference of opinion here. So Gemara says, Amarle, ida nafel berotev raka hachanami. Let's understand what it fell into. If it fell into a liquidy gravy, then you would be correct. If you have this rotev that can be mevatel, that's when we're talking about a liquidy one. But here, hacha b'mayaskinen nafel berotev ava. That it's not a liquidy gravy, but rather a thick gravy. Rashi describes it as being dak dak shel basar. Bishuman dekuli min basarhu. There is no differentiation between the pieces of meat and the gravy anymore. It's more like a stew, I would call it. Rather than being pieces of meat that you are broiling together in the gravy, we're talking about like a stew where the pieces of meat and the gravy are almost indiscernible. Are indifferentiable because they are together in the pot, mixed so well that you can't just say, oh, the pieces of meat we drop out and the gravy is separate. No, they become a singular unit. Since they're a singular unit, I no longer have a distinct heter that is eino mino and a distinct heter that is mino. And therefore, Rava's principle would not apply. So Rav says, now, Micah suffer. What is Rav Shita? Let's dig into Rav Shita a little more. So here we distinguish between Rav and Rava. We said that Rav and Rava do not have to be arguing. They just could be their circumstances are different. Rav's talking about a circumstance where there is no discerning between the meat and the gravy, and therefore it's all mino, and it's not nidbatel. Rava's talking about a case where there are discernible items, and therefore you can have an eno mino and a mino, and that's why they have a difference in opinion. Not necessarily that they're arguing about whether you can have bitol by the eno mino here. That's one piece. Now we're going to say, okay, Rav. Rav who says, when it comes to this chatichat nasin veila, let's understand how he views that chatichat. If you have the ability to squeeze it out, meaning that you could expel the liquid from inside the meat, then mutar, and therefore it would be mutar. I mean, if you were able to somehow dispel the liquid from inside of it, then it would be mutar. Then why do we classify over here that this piece of meat now becomes total isur? The assumption of the meat becoming total isur is that there is a dissemination of the flavor of this drop of milk inside the meat, and then it cannot be squeezed out afterwards. If you could extract the milk afterwards, then obviously the piece of meat would be mutar once you extracted it. Ella kasavar, he must hold. But even if he holds that you could squeeze it out, nevertheless, asur, it remains asur. Even if you're able to squeeze all the liquid out, it remains asur. That must be what he holds. Dizmar. And that accords with something else that we have. The Rav, Rabbi Chanina, Rabbi Yochanan, Damre. They all say, Efshar la sochato asur. If you can squeeze out the liquid, it remains asur. Shmuel, Rabbi Shimon Barabi, Veresh Lokish, are of the opinion, Efshar l'sochato mutar. If you're able to squeeze it out, then it would be mutar. Now, obviously to squeeze out the liquid, squeeze the milk out of this piece, l'chatchila, we don't want you to do that. Because the chatvim mevateli serim l'chatchila. You can't just do it willy-nilly and be mevatel isur. Here the milk fell into the piece. If you squeeze this milk out of this piece, you're going to change the dynamic of the pot, which is, it'll no longer be one piece versus the milk, it'll be the whole pot versus the milk. So it will help you out to have the milk outside of it. So we're not going to suggest to you or recommend to you to do that. But if it has happened, or it was squeezed out, the liquid squeezed out, that's what we're discussing over here. Rav, Rabbi Yochanan, and Rabbi Chanina all believe that the chaticha remains a surah, that doesn't change the fact that you have now a chaticha nasin tevela. And then Shmuel, Rabbi Shimon Barabi, and Rish Lakish believe that that does change that dynamic, and now you look at this drop of milk compared to the whole pot rather than to this one piece. Vayitmar, is that really truly the position of Rav? Rav says, Kazai pasar, shnafala toch yoreh shel chalav. You have a piece of meat that's a kazayit big that falls into a cauldron or a kettle of milk. So you have a large quantity of milk versus the kazayit basar. Amara basar asur. The meat itself is asur. Obviously the meat's asur because it's being flavored by the milk. On the other hand, a chalav mutar. The chalav itself is mutar because there's so much more chalav than there is basar. V'isal kadatcha efshar l'sochato asur. If you believe, even if you're able to expel the liquids from the inside, the piece of meat remains asur, then chalav amay mutar. Why is the chalav then mutar? Chalav nevelahu. The chalav that is inside this piece of meat now turns into nevela. And when it's expelled from the piece of meat, now you have milk of nevela that is circulating within the milk that's there. So you have to, if you subscribe to the fact that once the liquid comes into it, the liquid and the piece remain nasid nevela and they remain asurim, that means that any liquid now that is inside of this piece of meat becomes a liquid of isur. Since it's a liquid of isur, we're no longer talking about just the kazayit basar here, we're talking about milk of nevela. Well, milk of nevela that's found inside of other milk of heter, what's the problem? Now you're back to min bimino. Min bimino is not batel. Now I have milk of isur that is now circulating through this cauldron of milk. So if Rav Lishitato really believes that even when you expel the liquid from the item, it still remains asur, that means now that I have asur milk that is running around this pot. If asur milk is running around this pot, I have min bimino and it's not batel. So how do I explain Rav Shita? Rav just said before that the basar is asur, but the milk is heter. But if we think that Rav holds that afilish is sachato, even if you're able to expel the liquid from the meat, that the meat remains asur as well as the liquid obviously remains asur, then how do you explain his position that the chalav is mutar over here? Rav says, okay, the olam kasav Rav, efshar l'sochato asur. Even if you're able to expel the liquid, it's still asur. Shani haltam. Why is it different by the cauldron of milk? Damakral, the pasuk says, lo tebashel gedi b'chalei bimo. Cannot cook the goat, the kid, in its mother's milk. So what, if you were to read the pasuk in its simplest form, where's the problem here? When the Torah says don't cook the goat or the kid in his mother's milk, where's the problem? What's asur here? The gedi. It's the goat that's asur. The chalav, the Torah is not addressing. The Torah is saying that don't have gedi that is cooked inside the mother's milk. Doesn't tell you what about the mother's milk, but the status is gedi asra Torah v'lo chalav. The Torah says that only the meat is asur, not the milk. The milk remains heter. So that would be Rav Shito. Rav Shito obey, yes. Ein ochanami, you do have chalav nevela floating around here, but chalav nevela is irrelevant because it doesn't become chalav nevela. Chalav is always mutar. The only problem here is the basar itself. It says, v'savar Rav gdi asra Torah v'lo chalav. Does Rav really subscribe to that? V'limud v'yitmar. We have a statement by Rav. Chatzika zayit basar, chatzit zayit chalav. You have a half zayit with the basar and a half zayit of chalav. Shibishlan zeim zeh, you cook them together. Amrav lokal achilato. You get malkot for eating them. Veino lokal bishulo. But you don't get malkot for cooking them together. So why is that the case? When you eat them together, how much iser do you have here? A zayit worth. A half zayit of milk, half zayit of meat. Once they're together, you have a zayit worth of mixture. So that's why you're chayav for the eating of it. Bishulo, when you cook them together, the contributing factors were a half zayit of milk and half zayit of basar. So the cooking was never done with it was never a kazayit worth of heter that you turned into isur over here. So you will be chayav for the achila, but you will not be chayav for the bishul. But what do you see clearly from Rav? How'd you get to a kazayit over here? Half kazayit basar, half kazayit chalav. That means that he believes that the chalav is asur. Otherwise, you couldn't get to a full kazayit over here. So it's clear that Rav does not subscribe to that position that the gedi is asur and not the chalav. That's clear from this. So that can't be the explanation of Rav Shito. Ella, Olam kasava Rav, chalav nami asur. It's clear that Rav holds that the chalav is also asur. So how do we explain Rav's position here? Gon shenafal l'toch yoreru techet. It fell into a cauldron that was boiling. Demivlo bala, miflat lo palat. Since it's a boiling cauldron, the meat that the kazayit basada fell in is busy absorbing the milk. It's so busy absorbing the milk, it doesn't have time to eject it or to spit out the milk that it has absorbed. Ein ochanami, there is milk of nevela inside this piece of meat. But that milk of nevela will never be expelled from the meat because it's so busy absorbing that which is there. So when it says, sof sof, kinayich, hadar palit. Okay, but once it stops boiling, obviously there's going to be a point where it starts to expel that which is inside of it. There will reach a point where it's no longer absorbing and it's expelling it. Shekodom visilko. That's exactly the case here. They pulled it out. So that would be the circumstance here that we can explain Rav. So now just to go through Rav Shita entirely, Rav believes, chaticha naset nevela. That's the first position of Rav. Number two is Rav believes once it's chaticha naset nevela, you cannot change that. You cannot eject the liquids and somehow change that status. It remains a nevela. Yeah, even so chato, it will remain asur, and the liquid itself will turn into liquids of nevela. That's the first part of Rav's position. Number two part of Rav's position is, min bimino lo batil. So if you have anything min bimino, you have no batilot over here. The third thing in Rav's position is that when it comes to the basar and the chalav are asurim. The last thing that we saw in Rav's position is if a piece of meat falls into a large cauldron of milk, only the meat is asur, the milk is not asur. That is because the meat is absorbing from the milk, but yet to expel any of the milk that is absorbed back into the cauldron. That's only true as long as it's still boiling. If it comes to a rest, then it would expel that and it would create a problem for the whole cauldron of milk. The solution to that problem is to avoid it, is to take the meat out before it reaches that point where it drops down in temperature and it would expel the milk from it. Alright, so now there are two important Tosafot here. One Tosafot is the first one on the page. Over here, the Rashbam was Rabbi Shmuel ben Rabbi Meir, who's the Rashbam, who's Mikdakdek. He also said this. There was a Tosfot back on Kufum Yibet, where he quotes the Rashbam saying the exact same thing. Over here, quotes the Rashbam and disagrees with the Rashbam over here. He says, Mikana yam adakdek Rabbeinu Shmuel, dilamand amra min biminolo batil, tzrech tzrech tre shishin. You have to have 260 times in the pot. Shishin berotev lebatel tam chatichad nevela. You need 60 times worth of gravy versus this piece of meat that is a nevela over there. The chatichad that became the nevela. I have to be mevatel it. So like what Rava said before, Rava says I ignore the other pieces of meat. The remainder of the pot's got to be mevatel it. So that's the rotev. The gravy here has to come along and be mevatel that piece of meat. But on top of that, I have another problem. The nevela itself has liquid now inside of it, has gravy inside of it. It turns that gravy that's inside of it into gravy of isur. That gravy now is going to be expelled back into the pot. The gravy that's there cannot be mevatel in it because it's min b'mino. What can be mevatel that gravy? The other pieces of meat of heter. So Rabbeinu Shmuel says you need two betelot here. You need the betelot of the gravy of heter to the chatichat nevela, and you need the pieces of meat of heter to be mevatel the rotev coming out of the chatichat nevela. So you need 260s over here to mevatel, each one to mevatel the two pieces of isur. So that the Tosafot disagrees with the Rashbam's underlying premise. And he says that I don't agree with the fact that when the piece of meat here expels liquid, that that takes on a status of liquid. He says that when you have a chatichat nasei nevela, that means that the entirety is a nevela, the piece of meat, and all the liquid that expelled from it is classified as nevela. It's not classified as you have a piece of meat and I have liquid that's asur now. No. I have a single entity called nevela. And that's whether it's in the liquid form or in solid form, that's a nevela. And therefore you only know we need one betelot. You need the rotev to take care of this nevela and it's liquid. So that's why Tosfot disagrees with this position of the Rashbam. He says towards the end, he says, avamayim, aniflatim min hanevela, water that is expelled from this piece of meat, ein asurim elo b'tacham tacham hanevela. The reason it's asur is not because it's liquid of isur, it's asur because it has a flavor of nevela in it. Ha-mi'urav behen, that's mixed into them. Vein mitstarfim lo kolt aleihem mishum nevela. And they're not mitstarif to be asur. The liquid itself is not asur because of nevela, it's because of the flavor. Mikan yesh lo chiyach, and he says, I can prove for you from this, the tavlina bluim michelev o midam. Five spices that have fats or blood absorbed into the spices, v'nafludik deira, and then they fall into a pot. Mit batlim b'shishim, at 60 times they're mit batel. Afa gav denotinim tam. Even though the spices are giving over flavor to the pot, and we say with tavlin, afilu b'elef, enu batel. I have blood inside these tavlin. I have chelev inside these tavlin. Do I say now that they become total chelev? They become total dam? And therefore now I never be mevatel this flavor because these spices disseminate around the pot and therefore there's always dam spices in the pot? No. I look at how much dam was in there, how much chelev is in there, I look at the 60 to 1. This is what we saw from the Rabbeinu Ephraim before, that it's only by basar b'chalav that I say chatichat nasei nevela, that the chalav that we're talking about over here that disseminates is only the thing that is chatichat nasei nevela, and we look at it as being wholehearted nevela even when it's expelled from here. But it's not true when I have absorption of liquids, or I have liquids that are expelled, or I have items that are absorbed. I only look at the percentage of isur that's there. So whatever dam was inside these spices, that's how much I need to be mevatel. They don't become spices of dam. They become spices with dam in them. And then you have to be mevatel that dam. Because in other places, the problem is that you have real isur. And the problem is that you can quantify what the isur is. Over by basar b'chalav, when we say, it doesn't matter if it's milk or meat. Both of them are problematic. And so the entirety of the unit here becomes asur. It's not that you just have milk now that's inside of this and that milk is asur but the meat is fine. No. The entirety of this unit becomes asur. In other instances, there's isur and heter. So the isur flavors the heter that more than the amount of isur that's contained inside of it. At least according to Rabbeinu Ephraim. So that's the first tosfot that's important. The second tosfot that is important is shana nafal tof yura v'tachat demivla bala miflat lo polit. Says tema. Tosfot says, who here cooked chicken soup before? Cook chicken soup, you put vegetables into the chicken soup, and you're going to suggest to me that the vegetables are boiling in the chicken soup, they only absorb the chicken soup outside the water, but they don't expel any flavor into the chicken soup. If you put in different vegetables into your chicken soup, the chicken soup tastes different. So it says, how could it be that as long as it's boiling, that they impart no flavor back into the item? And that's what Tosfos basically says. Tema. The davar nira le'enayim. There's evidence in everyday cooking. Who? The polit. The notnim yarek biktera rotachat. You put in a piece of a vegetable into a hot pot. Mishtane marita mayim in a yarek. The water changes color because of the expelling from the vegetables. Chem basar shuman nimoach le'tocha. and fatty meat dissolves into the liquid. So you see there is plata over here. So v'nira asham nunit arotav, and then when you cool it off, the fats flow to the top. You know that the fat's there. So you know that there is being something expelled into the liquid. Perish Rabbeinu Shmuel, tahad gamar mitzvah lo poli, tahinu ad shehei saveh milivloa. So that it's only once it's finished absorbing will it then begin to expel. So this will be something like what you were asking before. It's very hard to know when that happens. But there is a threshold beyond which it stops absorbing and starts to expel. But he says there is a time period that it takes. And then the kadom b'salko over here is that he took it out before it already absorbed fully. Before it had fully absorbed, he took it out before it started to expel. And then he gets into kashering of keli based on that. How does it work that you kasher a keli? Keli that has problematic flavor in it, you dump it into a yoreh. You dump it into a cauldron. Now what happens? The kli now expels the flavor that's inside of it. But we just said now that it doesn't expel until the amount of time that it's fully absorbed. So first of all, you'd have to have it absorbed first. And then only expel it afterwards. I mean, it takes time for that to happen. You have to leave it there long enough. By kashering, you're going to have to do the same thing. You have to wait now for it to absorb and then expel. You have to wait that amount of time. That's what the suggestion is now. So that's what Tosa says. So though tan kelim karot shasurot shemagilim otam b'toch yireh gdola, menichon otam bifnim, kshamayim rotchim, hayah matzrich rabbeinu shmuel hanicham sha'a gdola. The Rashbam, based on this, said you have to leave them for a amount of time. Ad kedei shelehem shahut ligmor bliya, till they finish being saturated with the water. V'lachzor liflot acharkach, and then to expel it afterwards. It says v'tavar teimahu v'mibaki leidash yurzeh. Exactly your question. How do you know when that threshold is? How do you know when a kli is saturated? How do you know when a vegetable is saturated and then starts again? Because how could you have something that is so subjective? So, and things that's out of the realm of almost human possibility to know when that threshold is. How could you have something like this? So Rabbeinu Tam comes up with a different solution. They're brothers. Rabbeinu Tam and the Rashbam, they're arguing here. The Rashbam's suggestion is that first you have to be saturated before you expel. Rabbeinu Tam gives a different suggestion is whatever it's currently absorbing, it doesn't expel. What was inside of it, it expels. So once, when the item becomes saturated with the new liquid, it has to displace something in order to have that saturation come in. So Rabbeinu Tam's suggestion is, yes, it absorbs new, but it expels what was already inside, or something that was there prior. Eventually you'll cycle through, that's correct. That's why you have to take it out. But up front, there's always an expelling of whatever was there beforehand, and the absorption of what's new. So then again, in the kashering of pots, then you don't have this problem. As soon as you put it in, what's first coming out is the isur. The balua is the new water that's in there, and it's expelling the isur right away.
In that short time, what's also happening? There is plata from the
vehicle. Well, it's inside. What? The gzai basar is having plata of the fats that are coming out of it right away, you're saying, according to Rabbeinu Tam. That's fine. Because then it's min she'enu mino. As long as it's not the milk that's being expelled again, then it's min she'enu mino, it's fine. It's the milk that's going in that if it's expelled becomes primary because it's mi'bimino. Then he says, according to Rabbeinu Tam now, you can do hagalah even on a ben yomo kli. Because the Rabbeinu Tam's logic now is that the iser is the first thing to come out. So then I should put it out. Normally we say you can only do a ben yomo kli if you have 60 times in the water connected to Tam. Because then whatever goes out is nitbatel. But according to Rabbeinu Tam, I don't need that. I put it into boiling water. As long as it's submerged in the boiling water, the water goes in and expels the isur right away. And we don't have, it's not going back into the pot because it expels it first and absorbs the good liquid first. So according to Rabbeinu Tam, I wouldn't need 60 times the water inside. Right, you need to know when that threshold is. He says that you can't do that. He says because, when you're talking about clear water, you can't talk about bliya, delo boli. They get mixed in the isur. So it's not like you have separate isur floating around and clean water. So only the clean water is going in and the isur is coming out. What happens is, as soon as the pot expels isur, now what do you have? You have a mixture of water and isur. So whatever's coming in now is going to be coming in. It's not going to be batel, it's going to return into the pot. Water is entering the pot and expelling isur. The water that first goes in is clean water, but it's going to continue to absorb. Once it's expelled the isur now spreads amongst the water. Because as he says, that's not the way it works. Water is not an issue of boleya. It's not an issue that it absorbs flavor. Water automatically is a mixture of isur and water right away. Instantaneously, it disseminates the flavor throughout the water, and there is no idea of tam In water. In water, when it's clear water, we're talking about. In clear water, there's no such thing. It's just, it's automatically an ear goof. It's automatically a total mixture right away, instantaneously. After 60 times the water, then you don't have a problem. But here, according to Rain of Time, you wouldn't need 60 times the water because technically, clear water is going in, the issue is coming out, and we don't care because it wouldn't have mattered about the 60 times. So he says, don't be so mech on that because by water, that doesn't work that way. Now, v'gamein svar lomar, and it's also not logical to say that he'echid amar mivla bala, mifla lo polit, mashe bala. Hakanami mifla polit, mifla lo bala, mashe palat. Just because in a situation in which it's boleya, and we say mifla lo polit, it doesn't expel what it absorbs. So when you're talking about entering into the item, saturating the item, we say it doesn't spit out that which is going in. It spits out other things or displaces other things, but it doesn't spit out that which it took in. So now you want to reverse the logic. In Rabbeinu Tam, you're trying to say the opposite now. Miflat polit, it's spitting out, so it's so busy spitting out, it can't reabsorb the issue that it spit out, then you don't say it. The logic doesn't work that way. Just because it's expelling doesn't mean it can't absorb. It means that if it's absorbing, it can't be polit. But doesn't mean if it's spitting out, expelling, that it doesn't absorb. And if you really thought that was the case, that the Rabbeinu Tam, but they would say it was true, never do Hagala on two Kelim in a row. After you did Hagala on the first Keli, now you have water mixed with Isur. You put the second Keli in, well, guess what? It's expelling its Isur, but what's it absorbing? The Isur of the previous Kli. And therefore, you'd have a problem putting Kelim in sequentially. And therefore, those two problems will make it problematic to put a Kli Ben Yomo into less than 60 times the water. It has to be 60 times, and that's it. But he says that erev Pesach, before 4 hours on the Pesach, before chametz becomes asur, then mutar lagil kli chametz avu bishem b'mayim samach. Then even you don't even need 60 times because since chametz is heter, once it goes expelled into the water, you don't worry about it because it's chametz of heter. And we don't say that the time of Isur goes back in because there is no time anymore. The chametz is not problem of Isur then. It's only once it's on Pesach itself, then you have a problem with the time being of time Isur. All right, here we go. Let's finish up the Gemara now. Kufa. Chazi zayit bazav, chazi zayit chalav, shibishlan zayim zay, you may cook them together. Amarav lokal achilato beno lokal bishulo. Manav shah. This is Shaul's question. If mitzdarfim, a bishul nami loke. If they are really mitzdarif to make it asur, then the bishul is a bishul of a kazayit. Ilo mitzdarfinan. So if they are not mitzdarif, achila nami lo location be asur. So the olam lo mitzdarfe. It's not a case of mitzdarif. And Rav actually made two separate statements over here. One is, ubabami yorek dolat. It's coming from a large cauldron. So that means that it's coming out of a large cauldron, and therefore there were two separate cases. One case was where you're coming out of a large cauldron of bishul, of basar b'chalav, and then if you take a chatzi kazayit basar, and a chatzi kazayit chalav, and you eat those, you're chayav. Because both the chalav and the basar are surim. So if you have a chatzi kazayit of each, they're mitzdarif to be a kazayit worth of basar b'chalav. So that's coming out of a larger pot. Then, the issue of bishul is a case where you just have exactly a chatzi kazayit of milk and a chatzi kazayit of basar over there. That's why you're not loke because of the bishul together. Levi amar, af lokal bishulo, to what Shaul was saying before, you were ahead of your time. There you have Levi who says exactly what you're saying, which is that they have to be consistent. That you get malkut on the bishul and you get malkut on the eating. Meaning that when you have a chatzik kazayit this and a chatzik kazayit that, you get now a kazayit worth of basar b'chalav that you're cooking. And therefore it's a sur. So that's what Levi disagrees with Rav. Rav says when you have a chatzik kazayit, it's not bishul. It's not bishul. You're not chayiv for the bishul. You're not chayiv for the achila. Levi says the other way around. No, you're chayiv for the bishul and you're chayiv for the achila. Spechei dani Levi matniti. It should be matnita and a breita. Shem shaloke al achilato. Kach loke al bishulo. Just like you get malkot on eating it, you get malkot on the bishulo. Ubeis the bishul amru. Right, first we're talking about bishul shacherim oklim oto machmat bishulo, and that's what we're talking about here. The bishul, the level of bishul that we're talking about is acherim being of the kochavim that it's cooked, it's fully cooked, something that would otherwise be edible for a non-Jew. That's the amount of cooking that you need, or level of cooking that you need over here. When does basar b'chalav become basar b'chalav? And bishul is when people would eat it based on that it's fully cooked in that manner. Ve'efshar l'sochato. Now it's taking a step back. Ve'efshar l'sochato atzmo tznaihi. That statement that we had before with Rav, that the ability to squeeze it out of the basar, whether that remains asur or not asur, that happens to be a machloket tanaim. Titania, you have a brighter. Tipat chalav neshafal chaticha. You have a drop of milk that falls into a piece of meat. Kemishinat natam b'chaticha. Once there's flavor imparted to this meat, hachaticha atma nasein nevela, it becomes like a full-fledged nevela. Voseret kol achitichot kulan, b'vinei shein mina. They become totally asur because they are min b'mino, divrei, Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda, obviously Rav is b'shitat Rabbi Yehuda. And here we have explicitly, this is b'shitat of Rabbi Yehuda, that it's min b'mino, eno batel. B'chachamim or mim, ad shetein tam b'rotev, b'kipo b'chatichot. No, we don't look at it as being just min b'mino batel. You have to look at it as the, holistically, the whole pot. You have to look at the rotev, the kipo, the chatichot. Rotev being the gravy, the kipo being the small pieces of meat that settle at the bottom, the sediment. And the chatichot, the pieces of meat, everything together, you have to look at it, whether it's mevatel this, because they don't think that min b'mino is not batel. I'm a rabbi. Rabbi says, nirin divrei Rabbi Yehuda b'shlo nier, b'shlo kisa. It makes sense. Rabbi Yehuda makes sense when you didn't mix the pot, and lo kisa, you didn't cover the pot. So in that case, there was no dissemination of flavor amongst this one piece of milk throughout the pot. And therefore, you have to say, I look at this one piece, and chatichot nasen nevela. Divrei chachamim shenir b'kisa. And when they mixed the pot, or I covered the pot, and there's dissemination of flavor throughout the pot, then the Chachamim's position makes sense. So now, my lo nier v'lo kisa. When Rav says he didn't mix it, and he didn't cover it, what does that mean? Ilem a lo nier klau v'lo kisa klau. He didn't mix it at all, and he didn't cover it at all. So mivla bola, mivla lo polit. Wait a minute, it only absorbs, it doesn't expel flavor. I mean that all of this piece of meat did was absorb that flavor. How did it disseminate that flavor to the other pieces of meat that are there? So that can't be the case. How did it pass the tam chalav to the other pieces? There's no other way. It wasn't mixed. It wasn't covered. How did it move the flavor? Vela must be lo nier b'tchila ela basof. He didn't mix it right away. He mixed it later. Lo kisa b'tchila, he didn't cover it right away. Ela basof, later on. So what happened over here? The time, you gave it enough time that the milk was already absorbed in that one piece. After it was already absorbing that piece, then they mixed the pot. Then they covered the pot. So your chatichat nasin nevela already happened. Then you mix it into the pot. So amai. So why is that the case? Habala v'hapalat. It absorbed the milk, but it also expelled the milk. So kasavar must be that he holds efshel lesochato asur. That if it was expelled afterwards, it still remains asur. That which is expelled, that the piece of meat remains asur. Michlal. That implied from that is that's the position of Rabbi. But that implies that Rabbi Yehuda's shita is sabar kiner mitchila va'ad sof, v'kisa mitchila ad sof, if he mixed it from beginning to end, or he covered it from beginning to end, asur, that it would still be asur, that we still say chatichat nesed nevela, amai, halo balo klal. What are you talking about? This piece of meat never absorbed anything. You mixed it before it had a chance. So ema, the case must be here, lo nier means yafe yafe, lo kisa means yafe yafe. You kind of partially mixed it, and you kind of partially covered it. It wasn't a full covering or full mixing over here. So Rabbi says in that case, that's already a dissemination of the flavor, and we don't say chatichat nesed nevela. On the other hand, Rabbi Yehuda is going to disagree and say, no, if you didn't mix it fully, if you didn't cover it fully, then the flavor is not considered to be disseminated, and we say chatichat nesed nevela. Technically, it's mixed. It really should be about the whole pot. But he's Xavier, since you didn't mix it well, we think maybe there was a lot of absorption on this one piece, and chatichat nesed nevela. You go back to the original case, and min b'mino, it's not batel, and so you have a problem. Whereas Rabbi says, no, I'm not choshish for that. I'm not choshish. If you didn't mix it well, that the milk really just stayed on this piece. Once you mixed it, mixing is mixing. Once it's mixed, we look at it holistically of the whole pot, not on this one piece. Rabbi Yehuda says, no, if you mix it well, I agree with you. But if you don't mix it well, then I'm choshesh that the milk stayed on this one piece, and chatichat nesed nevela. We haven't gotten to Rabbi's position in the Rabbanah. That's the next part of the Gemara all the way to the Mishnah. It's how do we explain Rabbi in the Rabbanah. We didn't do that yet.